All right, we're going to look at verses 1 through 8 for our text here tonight. 2 Kings chapter 18, and beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images, and cut down the groves, and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not. He smote the Philistines even unto Gaza, and the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city." By way of introduction here, let me just say that God does want to richly bless his children. He's a loving father who wants to bless his children, and I don't think anybody in this room would deny that we would give mental assent to that truth, that God wants to bless us. His thoughts toward us are only good, and they're thoughts of peace, and the Lord wants to bless his children. God wants to show himself strong on our behalf. He has a desire for and a will for his children that would routinely demonstrate God showing his power on our behalf. And he wants us to grow into a deeper and fuller relationship with him because he's a loving, gracious Heavenly Father. God wants to do that. But all too often, he can't do it the way that he desires to because of the part that we play in that equation. Because so often things in our life will prevent or disallow him from doing all that he wants to really do in and through us and for us in our Christian life. Now the verses that we've read here tonight, they're set in contrast with the following verses 9 through 12. All right, so we read about how Hezekiah here did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and that we got to verse 7, and the Bible said the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. That was a natural result of God's blessing on Hezekiah because of the fact that Hezekiah operated in a manner that was pleasing to the Lord. That is set in contrast to the very next verses, because verse 9 says, "And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years they took it. Even in the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria, and put them in Halah and Haber by the rivers of Gozan in the cities of the Medes, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them nor do them." You see the contrast? Hezekiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He prospered whithersoever he went because the Lord was with him. But Israel, Samaria, and Israel, the divided kingdom, Israel was carried away because they did not hearken unto the voice of the Lord or obey his command. You see the difference in the result. And so those verses are set in contrast with verses 9 through 12. If we go through the rest of the chapter and into the next chapter, what we find is the story of how Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up to destroy Jerusalem and Hezekiah as the king. Let's read a few verses here. All right, verse 13 of chapter 18. "Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah, and took them. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended, return from me. And then we move on down to verse 17. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. And when they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the fuller's field. Now skip down to verse 28. Verse 28 says, Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, The Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. All right, skip to verse 33. Here's their attitude in their heart. He said, Have any of the gods of the nations delivered at all this land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? So you see what he's saying here? Don't let Hezekiah fool you that you're going to escape. We're going to take you. We're going to destroy you. And then he says, Have any of the gods of any of the other nations saved them? And he says, You can't trust in your God either to save you. Skip down to verse 35. Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of mine hand? But the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was, saying, Answer him not. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. Well, chapter 19, once you get into chapter 19, it shows that Hezekiah is in deep affliction, and he's comforted by Isaiah the prophet, who comes and prophesies concerning the outcome of all of this and the outcome of the king of Assyria. All of Isaiah's prophecies came true. If you get to chapter 19, verse 32, Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city, to save it, for mine own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch his god, that Adramelech and Sharezer his son smote him with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon his son reigned in his stead. So what do we find in all of this? Well, Hezekiah did some things in the very beginning that set him on a course that allowed him to see and experience the hand of God on his behalf working for him, so that he prospered, so that he was protected of God, so that he saw the strong arm of the Lord. In contrast, Samaria or Israel did not obey or hearken unto the voice of the Lord, and they were carried away captive. And there was a reformation that happened in Judah. And they were in a position where they were able to be blessed of God and have protection when the king of Assyria came to defeat them. And all of that and the protection of the Lord, I believe, is traceable directly back to King Hezekiah and the things that he did to put himself and the nation into a position where they could experience the merciful hand of God. God wants to bless his children. God wants to work on our behalf. He wants to show himself strong. But all too often, we disallow God from doing what he really wants to do. And sometimes we even take ourselves out of a place of blessing because of the things that are going on in our life. I just want to take a look here tonight for a very brief time. I'm not going to keep you here long, and I really mean it, I promise. I'm not going to keep you here long. I just want to look at a few things about Hezekiah here that we can apply in our own life, really, that helps put us and keep us in a place where we experience the blessing of God and the hand of God at work in our life. The first thing I want to draw your attention to is in chapter 18 and verse 3, that we see that Hezekiah, he chose the right motives for his life. Verse 3 says that Hezekiah did that which was right in the sight of who? Himself? In the sight of the Lord. This was the motive for Hezekiah's life, to do that which was pleasing in the sight of the Lord. And there are two things in this verse that we note. Not only did he do what was pleasing in the sight of God, but we find that he also followed good examples in his life. Note that it says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and according to all that David his father did. Now David wasn't his father, his earthly father. But he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he followed the example of David, who was a man after God's own heart. He did that which was pleasing to God. He followed good examples. And Hezekiah was not one who was so foolish as to trust in his own heart or be guided by the light of his own understanding in his life. But so often that's how we operate, isn't it? We think we got things under control. We think we're doing okay in some areas, and often we're guided by our own understanding and our own sight and how we think, and we're not really, really seeing things maybe as God sees them. Hezekiah wasn't so foolish to do that. The Bible says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." Hezekiah wasn't guided by the light of his own eyes or understanding. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he followed good examples in his life. But you know, here's an application. It takes real surrender, and it takes real humility in order to line one's life up in every area with what is pleasing to God. Let me say it again. It takes real surrender and humility to line one's life up with that which is pleasing to God in every area of life. Because all too often, the things that happen in our life come in conflict with what is pleasing to God, but we don't want to let go of it. Are you with me here? It takes surrender to take a step back and realize, you know what? Maybe I'm not as smart as I think I am. I don't have it all under control. There are some areas of my life that, you know, I need to yield to the Lord so that he has full control and his will in my life. Hezekiah's main concern, apparently, was that he wanted to do that which was pleasing to the Lord. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. You know, Joshua is a good example of this principle, too. Joshua said in Joshua 24, he said, "Choose you this day whom you're going to serve." He's talking to all the people. But he said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." What was his main priority? His main focus? To be pleasing to the Lord. Listen, if pleasing to the Lord and if being pleasing to the Lord and all we do, all that we do in life is really the motive for our life, it's really the goal for our life, if that's really true, then it really doesn't matter, and it's not going to matter what the Lord asks of us. We're going to be willing and we're going to be obedient to it, because my highest priority is to be pleasing to God. But all too often, issues will arise, and they'll reveal themselves in our lives, and the flesh just wants to rebel against that very thing. Well, if being pleasing to the Lord is truly our heart's desire, our response and our heart attitude is going to be something like this: "Lord, I'm yours. And if this area of my life needs to be adjusted, then I'm willing, and by your grace, I'm going to conform to whatever is pleasing in your sight." Sometimes there are things that may come into our life, you know, that we legitimately don't see or don't understand. But the proper response when that happens is not, well, I don't see it that way. The proper response is, well, you know, go to a godly counselor. Maybe go to your pastor and say, Pastor, you know what? I don't see it this way. I may not understand this. I need some clarification. I need some direction in this particular area. Would you help me with this? Because my goal is to please God in every area of my life. But we keep ourselves from real blessings sometimes if we're unwilling to yield to the Lord in a higher standard of living, in a higher standard of godliness. Why do we respond that way sometimes? Well, I think when issues come up, certain things become sore spots. The reason we respond that way is because of our old stubborn flesh that doesn't want to give up control. And the very fact that those things become issues usually proves that it's something that the Lord is trying to do in our heart. Otherwise, it wouldn't be an issue, right? Hezekiah made up his mind that he was going to do the things that were pleasing to the Lord, and because of that, he put himself and he put the nation in a place, in a position where they could be blessed of God. You see what took place after this, this whole scenario that played out. Go back to chapter 18 and verse 4 there. We see the second thing. We note here in verse 4 that he removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves, and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. And he called it Nehushtan. Here we find that Hezekiah put things in their right place. Not only did he have the right motives, that he was going to please God, but he started to put things in their right place. The Bible says he removed the high places. He cut down the groves. He break the images, all the things that identified and signaled worship to false gods. He did all of those things. And if we look over in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, we also find that not only did he do that, but he caused all the uncleanness to be cast out of the temple and the vessels to be restored in their rightful place. Go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. You just hold your place here. In 2 Chronicles 29, verse 1, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. Now skip down to verse 16. In verse 16, and the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. And in the 16th day of the first month they made an end. Then they went in unto Hezekiah the king and said, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of burnt offering with all the vessels thereof and the showbread table with all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. So what we find here is that Hezekiah removed the high places. He cut down the groves. He broke the images. He cast out all the uncleanness in the temple. And he restored the vessels back to their use. Basically putting things back in their right place and getting the focus back onto God as the true God in the people's minds to worship the one true God. And basically what it comes down to is the things which dishonored God Those were the things that were broken down and cast out. While those things that were honoring to the Lord, those were the things that were set up. He was putting things in the right place. And the application is very simple. The hindrances to our own spiritual growth and service to the Lord, you know what? They need to be removed from our life. And the admonitions and the instructions in righteousness and godliness, those things need to be received into our life. All too often, there are images in high places in our own hearts that occupy a higher position in our esteem than the things of God. And those things need to be cast out. Amen? Amen. We can take it a step further. There are things that sometimes we do or allow that, you know, in and of themselves, they're not inherently evil. But because the flesh becomes so attached to these things, they can eventually become powerful tools in the hand of the devil. Because his purpose is to destroy. His purpose is to make us useless for the Lord. And all too often, one of the greatest tools that he has is the deceitfulness of our own heart. You know what? If Satan can get us thinking on a certain plane, well, this isn't so bad. He can distract us till it has a higher place in our life than the Lord. Then he's gaining a victory. But Hezekiah said, you know what? These things got to go. These things got to get out. And we got to put things right back into their place and get the attention and the focus back on the Lord. If you look back in our text, we find that not only did he have the right motives for his life, not only did he put things in their right place, but we find here in verse 6 that he walked in the right path. The Bible says, for he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. Hezekiah clave unto the Lord. He departed not from following him. Basically, once he made up his mind to get things in order, he didn't allow himself to go back to the way it used to be. How often does that happen? Right? The Lord works in my heart and the Lord does something and I'm determined I'm going to change and I'm going to let the Lord have his way and I'm serious about it, but I don't pay attention and I don't stick to it, and all of a sudden things again begin to drift right sort of back to right where they were. If pleasing and honoring God is truly the desire of the heart, you know, then the attitude that Hezekiah had, that he clave to the Lord, and he didn't depart from following him, but kept his commandments, that's going to be our heart attitude too. If we decide and if we say we're going to be followers of Christ, well, we need to be prepared for what that means when it comes to being obedient to Christ. Because Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know what? It's never the wrong choice to follow where the Lord leads. It's always the safe choice to follow where he leads, because the Bible teaches us that he leads beside still waters. Amen? Maybe, just maybe, you might be here tonight and you might be struggling with an area of surrender in your life somewhere. Let me tell you, you'll never, ever be disappointed. Don't lean on your own understanding. You'll never be disappointed in surrendering to the Lord. Sometimes it can be hard. But I've learned this to be true in my life at various times, and to my shame. Sometimes you struggle and sometimes you fight. And when you finally give in to the Lord and you finally experience the joy that comes with surrender to the Lord, you look back and you're like, man, what was all that fuss about? What in the world? You know? Why don't we get it sometimes? Why don't we just get it? To deny ourselves and just give in to the Lord. I know. I'm one of you too. Hezekiah walked in the right path. He clave to the Lord. He didn't depart from it. And all of these things were things that put him in a position where he could experience the blessing of God. We find in verse 7, the last thing here, because of that, he enjoyed the right kind of success in his life. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. The Lord was with him. What a great statement. Amen? Wouldn't that be a great statement to have for your life? The Lord is with you. The Lord is with me. And because the Lord was with me, I prospered whithersoever I went. There is no failure when we're walking with the Lord. There's always prospering when we walk with the Lord. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean wealth. How many times do people look at their money and prosperity as success in their life? That's not in God's economy. Any kind of prosperity that is godless, all of that stuff is wood, hay, and stubble. And it's only going to end in disappointment. Real success and real prospering is only gained through faith and walking with the Lord and His will being accomplished in my life. That's the only kind of success that's real. If we're walking with the Lord, surrendered to the Lord, we're going to find that He's with us. And not only is He with us, but He's working for us. And confirming that with evidence in our life, with His hand guiding and leading and interceding on our behalf. Maybe you've experienced this before, I don't know. But I know I have. It's an amazing thing and an awesome thing to watch God do things in your life that only God can do. You know what confidence that brings? I'm in the will of God. You see this? The Lord confirms it. At different times, yes, you are in my will, and He'll do something that only He could do, and only glory can be given to Him. It brings confidence, and we enjoy the right kind of success. Hezekiah, as we read through the chapter and the following chapter after that, Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem, they experienced God's protection. They experienced God's blessing. And I think it's related to the fact that Hezekiah made some changes. Some changes not only for himself, but for the people, and restored things to the way that they were supposed to be. And God was able to bless and work for them in a way that He didn't with others. God really does want to bless His children. He really does want to richly bless us. Let's put ourselves in the rightful place. Amen. To where we can experience that. Consider your own life. What might the Lord be wanting to speak to you about? What needs to be put into the right place, maybe in your life, so that you can experience God's full blessing? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for examples like this that just can be reminders for us to do some heart checkup, to do some soul searching, or to be honest with ourselves, where are we really at? And what is the motive of our life? And ultimately, deep down, is there really that desire to do that which is pleasing in the sight of the Lord? And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to always be surrendered and yielded to the things that we know are right. And even when there's a temptation or resistance of the flesh, Lord, that we would trust You and yield to You. And Lord, to keep putting ourselves in a place where we can experience the full blessing of God and Your hand at work in our life. Thank You for Your love, Your care for us. Thank You for the fact that You're our Father. Lord, that You don't let us stray. Lord, we thank You for how that demonstrates the fact that You truly desire to bless Your people. Thank You for the time we've had here tonight. Lord, use it for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.